This is an interview with Dan Old Elk at Little Big Horn Community College, Crow Agency, Montana, September 20th, 1993. And the interviewer is Tim McClary. Okay, the first question, interested in knowing, are there any stories or oral traditions that the Crow people have about the origins of the bighorn medicine wheel in on Medicine Mountain?
As far as I know, some of the stories that has been handed down, the origin of the medicine wheel was made by a man called Burnt Face or Scarface. And the story is that he was a young man that had fallen into the fire, and that he was ashamed of his disfiguration, so he went off in the mountains to start being away from his people until he felt that it was all right for him to come back. And while he was up in the mountains, he was on a vision quest on one of the high peaks, just on north of the Cloud Peak. And at that place, he was given instructions on how to put this medicine wheel together. He was shown how to use the different stars, how to study the stars, how to be an astronomer at that time, to learn of the different seasons. So he spent a lot of time up there, and by putting the different parts of the season together, he was able to put the wheel together in the form that it was in, because he would see that in different lights. As the sun comes up, and in the summertime, it's, the sun travels north to the furthest point north, the north solar, summer solstice, which was the longest day. He started putting rocks down to show where that was. And as the sun starts moving south, he followed it. Until I guess he couldn't follow it anymore. There was too much snow up there. But he came back as soon as he was able to do that, to come back up on the mountain again. And he would fast, and in the middle he was where all the power was. He was given the power to know the seasons, to make like a calendar, to follow the different paths. And from this point, he was finally well, and his face was better from the bad burns, and he had finally came back to visit his people. And he was a strong medicine man, making predictions of the weather, what's coming up, when to move and stuff like this. So he was very useful with his own power. This was the origin that I have learned. And from this wheel, a lot of other people have gone up to that point, since it is one of the high points up on the Bighorn Mountains. And from there you can look across to the Absaroka Mountain Range, to the other mountains, and you can see where the people that lived in the that area could go back and forth and following the buffalo herds. There was a good vista point to look for game, the migration of game. And so it was used by a number of young men to seek their vision quests. And it was a sacred place for people that could come up there to just even to do a one-day vigil. And that's how this place was known to us, as to the Crow people. And today, the contemporary use, it's pretty hard to use that because of the Forest Service has control of the area. It's been exploited. A lot of the stones have been taken away from there. And you have to, there's a fence around it now. And you have to get permission from the Forest Service to do a pass. I've been up there early in the spring when nobody was there. And it's peaceful, it's quiet. That's probably the best time to use it if you get up there first, even before the snow is completely melted. Being regulated like that through the Forest Service, a lot of Crow people feel that they've been infringed upon in a site, or that so that it's hard for them to go up there to concentrate, to use it the way it was before. And I don't know too many people that have gone up there to use it. I think there have been, but through this permit system, once a place, you see it, and you have, sometimes you're discouraged by some of the things that you see over there with the visitors not having any respect for the area. They would throw things around, even around the fence. They would have some offerings, some tobacco ties and stuff, and some of these are not genuine. You can always tell the difference on them. Or they put a, there's stones and sticks and maybe little feathers or whatever they have, or cedar that's stuck in a piece of sock and tied to the fence or to the trees around there. And it, when you look at a place like that, when it's not kept like that, it's you feel like you don't want to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just good for maybe one day for to take your pipe out to use it there. But I think it's a little hard for people nowadays to start trying to use this as a regular Vision Quest sites. And there were other sites that are in conjunction with the Medicine Wheel that are similar, and we have probably a couple of more Medicine Wheels on the Bighorn that are, when you start going north onto the Crow Reservation, there is a small Medicine Wheel there. And then also on the Prior, there's, well, at Fort Smith, there's a Medicine Wheel. And then when you go on to Prior, there's also one on top of the castle rock. These are places that are still used, that are, that have not been exploited, that has not been messed up by visitors. And maybe it's good that people don't know where these other places are.
Mm-hmm.
They're smaller wheels, but at the same time, these are also some of the Vision Quest sites that we have along the Bighorns are also very important to us, to the Crow people. And so we try to keep these areas sacred. We try to keep respect for them so that other people can use them in a good way, instead of opening them up or exhibiting them to for the general public to look at. The Medicine Wheel was used by other tribes after it was discovered, since a lot of the Vision Quest sites are on high places. Other tribes have used this place also, the Cloud Peak area and the Sheep Mountain. These were high areas where was common for other tribes as well as the Crow to come and use. So when they started other tribes coming into this area, it was mostly the Sioux that came in from the east, the Cheyenne from the south, the Arapaho, and maybe the Shoshone. The Shoshone were mostly further south into the west. I doubt if any of the other tribes, like the Blackfeet or the Crees, have ever used this. But it's most more common to the Crow. And a lot of people, even today, don't even know where the medicine wheel is. Mm. A lot of the tribes.
I have got a couple questions. After, well, I guess with Burnt Face, are the stars that he used, are any of those, do you personally know the names of the stars that he was looking at, or do you know, or is that just knowledge that he had? Or
just knowledge that he had, but I think probably the morning star is probably most relevant, and then the evening star. And then the North Star, the seven stars of the Big Dipper would be another one. And then what we call the 10 clusters of stars in the Milky Way was one that they used for identifying where they are so that they can, they would never get lost wherever they go.
Hmm. Okay, so initially, I just want to make sure in my own mind, initially Burnt Face was the one who constructed it and used it, and then within the historic time period, then possibly even within his lifetime, then Crow started using it for fasting, other men started using it for fasting.
It might have even been used before Burnt Face's construction of the medicine wheel, because a lot of the people do go out to these high places and they look for these places for their vision quest sites.
And so even today, so that's a continuous tradition. That's been, the Crows have continuously used that area.
Yes, they
have. Mm-hmm. As far as your knowledge goes, okay. Let's see. Aside from fasting, you were talking about how other people are leaving what they perceive of as offerings or essentially garbage or whatever. In Crow use, would have anything been done to the wheel itself, or in its use, like would offerings have been left or that type of thing?
The only thing that they would use is to try to leave the place the way they found it, but if there was a group of men, they would sit down together and they would smoke the pipe and they would offer their prayers. They usually don't leave things behind like the Sioux would do.
Hmm. Okay. All right, and then the last question. If you could just give me a brief biographical data on yourself. I know you've done like lots of things, and we could probably do an hour just on that, but specifically like where you were born, your age, the types of things that you're involved in that are culturally related.
Mm. Okay, I was born here at Crow Agency in 1939. I'm 53 years old, and I have been raised traditionally, and my teachers were mostly my grandparents, my grandfather mostly. And I was influenced quite a bit by some of my clan uncles in the teachings of the medicine ways. And I have been in the sun dances and led the sun dances. And I do the winter medicine bundle ceremonies. which the people use quite a bit during the winter for healing. And I have led a number of those kind of meetings. So using the medicines that have been passed on from our forefathers, I have been able to use a lot of this to help my people. And I continue to use this way, the Sweat Lodge, helping people with their vision quests and helping them in their sun dances.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Dan. Is there any questions or other comments that you think we haven't covered pertaining to this? Or
one thing that kind of bothers me is that when they start making the wheel a place controversy by government agencies trying to regulate that, and then other tribes trying to say that this was theirs, or maybe a group or an alliance saying that this is their medicine wheel and that they should have say in how it's used. Right now, the biggest thing that stands right in the way of the medicine wheel is the big observatory that was built right adjacent to it. And that in itself is kind of cheapens the place, I guess, makes it, you've already distorted the area. And if a place like that is to be exhibited, you really don't need a fence, but maybe some people that have understanding of how it's used to interpret this for people to come up there to look at it. I like the idea of people having to walk up there to use it now and to leave their cars behind. And I think that we do need some protection on sacred sites like this. And I guess I'm kind of stingy, but the things that we do use, we don't want to keep it the way they are so that they're not destroyed.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dan. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.